listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You know, we could dive down the rabbit hole that would take us hours, days, maybe weeks. But, you know, honestly, everyone just needs to do their own homework, I think. And I will maybe encourage folks who don't know to embark on their own investigative journey. You know, just do some searches, like maybe Chris Bolin, Israeli terrorism, Ernst Zundel, Israeli terrorism, David Irving, Israeli terrorism, James Perloff, Israeli terrorism. And this is not to, you know, it's the Jews. I'm not doing that. It's the point here is that this is a... is an occluded piece of history, and there are folks who are playing their part in a plot that's been ongoing for a long time. Again, I mean, when we start to lean this direction in terms of subject matter, I always go back to, excuse me, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company. That fun little piece of occluded history, speaking of occluded history, by Waleed Khalidi back in 1993, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's blueprint for the colonization of Palestine. What? Yeah. The Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's blueprint for the colonization of Palestine, Waleed Khalidi, 1993. And he writes, some 60 years ago, that would be 1933. Isn't that, let's see, that was before, yeah, that was before, that was actually around the time that, you know, Philby of Arabia and Lawrence, of course, were doing fun things with the House of Saud and the Wahhabi influence, which is the other side of the Zionists. You got Zionism, political Zionism, and, you know, so just call it Zionism and Wahhabism, essentially. They're being collided together. Funny that those countries work together behind the scenes. You would think they would be mortal enemies, but, you know, Israel and Saudi Arabia aren't fighting. Why do you suppose that is? Interesting, you know? Wahhabi leadership doesn't include Zionists in the list of infidels that must be expunged from the earth. Why is that? I ask rhetorically. So, you know, we all need to dive in and start learning this history and then the scales will fall away from our eyes and we'll see the trick that's being played. You know, these people groups that are being played off against each other. So Waleed Khalidi wrote back in 1993, some 60 years ago, as Appendix 1 of his magisterial De Zionische Bewegung, the Zionist movement, Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism, published the full text of a remarkable document from the Herzl archives in Vienna. This is the draft of a proposed agreement, a charter, between the World Zionist Organization. Remember, they started officially just before the turn of the 20th century, right? Proposed agreement between the World Zionist Organization, the Ottoman government, concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, JOLC, for the settlement of Palestine and Syria, end quote. The document does not bear a date, but seems to have been drawn up sometime between the summer of 1901 and early 1902. Its authors seem to have been principally Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, and Arminius Vámbry, a Hungarian Orientalist of Jewish descent. Vámbry was not only close to Herzl, but also to Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. And how many of us have gone back just in the last 100 years, or 100 and, say, 50 years or so, 200 years, 150 years, and looked at the way the world has been changed? I have a globe that my grandparents gave to me that contains some of the old names of places around the world that have been changed, countries that no longer exist as a result of this kind of effort that we're talking about right here. And so how many of us have dug into that discussion to see how this has, plans that have been made have been executed, I guess. Because there are plans like this. There's evidence of something going on. You know, you go back, why was Baron Edmund de Rothschild so interested in the Middle East? Why did he spend millions of dollars? Just because he was a philanthropist? He was an avowed Zionist. What was the Balfour Declaration all about that wasn't really written by Arthur James Balfour, according to Carol Quigley, which led to the British Mandate? It was all a setup. You know, if we believe the facts of history that have come to light since, it all coincides with this Jewish Ottoman Land Company blueprint for the colonization of Palestine, Herzl's blueprint. So what of that? Why don't we talk about that? And the influence and effects that has had in subsequent years and decades and generations. It's kind of important. Not to know this is, again, to pretend like what's happening now is just another one of Arthur C. Clarke's magic tricks, you know? The third law, Clarke's third law. Any sufficiently advanced PSYOP and propaganda campaign which occludes history is indistinguishable from magic. How about that? Anyway, hopefully that makes sense, and we need to do that kind of homework, I think, and then we are less inclined to fall prey to and victim of these kinds of nefarious efforts. And again, you know, to just, I mean, take a weekend to read Machiavelli and realize that there are folks who use it as a handbook. Same thing, you know, to get knowledged up, so to speak, to be wise to this kind of nonsense. Back to the phones, Jim in New York. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, John, how are you?
Chris.
Okay, listen.
Good, thanks.
I live in the center of one of the most anti-Zionist blocks of people in the world. I live in the middle of Hasidim, of Satmar Hasidim in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, who are virulent anti-Zionists. They have fought other Jewish people with regard to this. I do not agree with them, and I do not agree with you. So let me tell you just a few ideas that I have. First of all, we know that from the time of when, first of all, let me say one thing about foreign aid to Israel. I have always contended, and so did Rabbi Meir Kahane, the great Jewish activist, I have always contended that the people of Israel do not really need foreign aid from America. I contend that the people who benefit most from foreign aid to Israel from the United States are the Jews of America. Because by the United States giving aid to Israel, the Jews of America feel loved by the American country. But as far as Israel is concerned, it started off as secular Zionism, as you've been discussing, but it is a process that is ongoing, and it will ultimately, it is a process that cannot be reversed no matter what anybody wants to do about it. Now, we heard about the Arabs talking about driving Israel into the sea, the Jewish people. What do we see now? That Muslims around North Africa and Syria have been driven into the sea. Now, what's happening with Israel? It's becoming stronger and stronger. Unless people become aware of three things which they know already, they are three questions. What land is the promised land? Who promised it to them? And who was it promised to? If we do not become cognizant of the answers to those three questions, which you already know, we will always be disappointed with the ongoing process. There is nothing anybody can do about it.
Well, you know, the question, I think, three-part question is, you know, again, sort of getting back to what Paul and I were discussing, Paul, in New Jersey, it's sort of irrelevant to us in America. I think largely it lends itself to, again, just more specious conflict that we shouldn't be involved in the first place. But, you know, the colliding of
Definitely
forces
not.
That you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. We should not be
involved.
Hold
on a second, Jim. I'm responding to what you said. I listened to you. Please listen to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
The colliding of forces together just, again, reminds me, I mean, it may sound oversimplified to folks, but if you read and see what's happening in the headlines, tell me that there is not that coinciding influence. The letter, Pike's letter to Mazzini, and colliding those groups together to destroy them both, and all the other people groups at the same time being drawn into that specious conflict. So, you know.
Yes, and
That's an inescapable point.
I agree, and that started with, in many ways, with the British Empire dividing these countries arbitrarily into conflicting groups, such as we see today in Kashmir and India and Pakistan, and mm-hmm. Israel and Jordan. And yes, it was done by the British Empire
and trying to do the same thing. I mean, there are a number of folks. Who is the? I just watched something. I think over the weekend from history back in the 70s or 80s, there was an interview, and gosh, who was it? I want to say it was I'll think of it in a minute. But you know, historians have observed that throughout history, if you want to. Basically, if you want your military to commit suicide, you go to the hills of Afghanistan and you try to conquer those people. And Gore Vidal. I think it was Gore Vidal who I was listening to over the weekend.
The Khyber Pass.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, same thing, same effort that you're talking about. Absolutely. Which goes back to what I was talking about at the turn of the 20th century, is something that's been going on for a couple hundred years with concerted fervor.
Could I end on a humorous note here?
Sure.
Who was the Rothschild who was now very popular in New York? You know who it is?
Is there such a thing? I don't know.
Yes, there was a Rothschild who is now very popular in New York City.
Well,
his name is Larry Rothschild. He's the pitching coach for the New York Yankees.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. On that note, I'll say so long.
That is humorous. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate your call. There's a lot of history in there. You know, and again, I mean, why are we involved in these conflicts? Like I said, you know, we've been drawn into certain mindsets, and so many folks have observed over the decades. So the other thing I was going to say about Bastiat's economic sophisms, another quote, getting back, you know, when we heard it with the banks, too big to fail. And, you know, you see it in these stories. One of the headings is, let's see, too big to prosecute. You know, that's one of the videos, drug distributors, too big to prosecute. And that was the, you know, coming out of the subprime contagion. And again, I mean, Bruce Wiseman, Canada Free Press, did a great series of articles on how the subprime contagion could not have possibly happened by accident. Kind of like, you know, folks shorting the market when tragedy occurs, how could they possibly know? And why the timing? You know, it's just a curious little coincidence. Anyway, too big to prosecute. So you go to Bastiat, Economic Sophisms, and he wrote, "It is a rather singular argument to maintain that because an abuse which has been permitted a temporary existence cannot be corrected without wounding the interests of those who have profited by it, it ought therefore to claim perpetual duration." See, this is another way that our thinking has been deranged in America. We have forces that are creating conflict that we've been talking about sort of, you know, here and there in today's broadcast. And predatory circumstances in another context. But, you know, here we are, and so now we just have to institutionalize these wrongs. But that's deranged thinking. That's not properly grounded thinking. So, you know, until we, I guess, you know, one way to put it is until we're all willing to live by the courage of our convictions, we have become such a domesticated herd in America, if we ever weren't, to begin with, the great melting pot. You know, when you look at folks, you know, again, just go back and do some homework. Chris Bolin, Israeli terrorism. Ernst Zundel, Israeli terrorism. David Irving, Israeli terrorism. James Perloff, Israeli terrorism. When you're somebody who gets banned from entire countries, why is that necessary? Who benefits from banning a speaker? Why not, if he's that crazy, if he's that much of a fringe lunatic, why not just let him come and peddle his wares and prove himself a lunatic? The answer is because he makes sense. And it destroys the narrative, the establishment narrative that perpetuates bad things. You know? I mean, you listen to David Irving, for example, sounds like a level-headed guy who is being candid. Well, you know, this is what I read, and I believe based on reading this and that, and then having read this and that. I mean, who is, to me, David Irving is one of those sort of unimpeachable witnesses. Who's going to say, who's going to challenge, who's in a position of authority to challenge what he says? Has a command of language, as he does, and has reviewed as many source documents as he has. So what harm is there in listening to someone like that speak? Stick around, I'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Again, the letter Pike to Mazzini. Mazzini, the great Italian liberator, the guy who, the godfather of the mob, essentially, and how, you know, just throughout the early and mid 20th century, for example, government agencies cooperating with organized crime in many documented instances, you know, symbiotic sort of relationship in many cases. And, you know, then a number of those folks getting burned, organized crime getting burned, a lot of intelligence folks meeting strange, untimely demises along the way, in exactly the sort of fashion that Washington talked about in his farewell address, the excerpt that Jim in Illinois mentioned. And so, I mean, you have organized crime in these places, Chicago, New York, you know, Philadelphia, Florida, out west, Sin City, for example, Las Vegas, and other places. But, you know, that excerpt, however combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time. And again, that gets back to Bastiat's economic sophism, sort of. In the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And that's what happened, and kind of like booster rockets into space, certain key figures were burned and destroyed. And now this criminal enterprise, you know, and you think of the Israeli crime syndicate, for example. Maybe we'll play a clip of Chris Boland's talk. You know, Adam Green, you know, the title, Christopher Boland Explains Who Really Did 9/11. That's over at No More News. But, you know, YouTube says the following content has been identified by the YouTube community as inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. So what do you think, you know, with a big old exclamation mark in the circle there, what do you think most people are going to do? You know, certain features have been disabled for this video. There must be something wrong with it. Anyway, maybe not. Maybe, you know, most people are getting wise to this nonsense. So, you know, it's just the organized crime syndicate has become more Machiavellian. The intrigue is more intriguing. The deception is more deceptive. And it's not the old, you know, busted nose, you know, busted knuckle kind of in your face type of an operation. Now it's a, man, you know, expensive Italian suit and probably an Ivy League pedigree and, you know, layers and layers of insulation. And as long as the little bundle of sticks hold together tightly in power elite fashion, don't break ranks, then everything's great. You know, do you wonder when you look back, we talked about it going through last year, but do you wonder as we went through this whole Me Too nonsense, the kinds of folks, the kinds of names, how many efforts to burn folks and destroy folks because maybe they had some objection to what was going on was underway. You know, Bill Cosby was an American darling. You know, you have so many of these figures, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, Prince, Tavis Smiley, and that Prince interview. We're going to have to come back to that for sure. And what has happened. And, you know, Dick Gregory's prophetic words, you know, these guys don't, they're like you and I, you know, I'll kill you. They wait 10 years. Well, guess what? 10 years later, what happened? So after the, you know, State of the Black Union in 2008 in particular, you know, some things that were said, some folks who were there, number of those folks who were, you know, very, very well respected and highly regarded. And then other folks, you know, what happened to Anthony Bourdain? What happened to Charlie Rose, a guy who's interviewed everybody over the last few decades? Just incredible how many folks were essentially silenced in one way or another. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Last time.
Welcome back. Let's see if maybe we can cue up the clip. Christopher Bolin. So if there's so much more ground to cover, so many other stories. I'll try to bang through some of this stuff real quick. But again, you know, Waffle Street trailer. The opening scene from Waffle Street back in 2015. What we do is legal, therefore it's not unethical. If this was unethical, it would be illegal. I keep going back to virtue, morality, and religion as the umbrella that should safeguard us. And without that, you know, the more we are led, the more we are sort of hypnotized and mesmerized by the siren song of technology and data and big data, and they will guide us. You know, how many stories have we seen? We've seen nothing but an unbroken thread of stories of how artificial intelligence is programmed to be racist, essentially. And I think Melissa Dykes talked about that in a recent video. Why do you suppose that is? Someone's programming this technology. And so the point is not to conspiratorialize that, only to step back and say, now hold on a second, we should have a healthy concern about this technology and realize that technology all by itself isn't the guiding light of mankind. You know, that's dangerous for a variety of reasons. It has, you know, it's a headless, conscienceless impetus by itself, and even more dire than that is if it isn't, in fact, then who is driving that bus, so to speak? Anyway, I want to play the clip. Christopher Bolin explains who really did 9/11. This gets back to the point of, you know, terrorists, that the folks sitting in pews on Sunday should probably be aware of, and probably aren't in most cases. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
And author of Solving 9/11 set of books, including his latest, The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East. Chris has a history degree from UC Santa Cruz with a focus on Israel and Palestine. He's written extensively on the Middle East, vote fraud, depleted uranium dangers, and the history and geopolitics of the 9/11 terror attacks. Chris joins us tonight as he continues to speak about 9/11
and tours across Europe and
America.
Can we skip forward to the 4-minute mark on that? Wanted to jump in at 4 minutes.
It was blamed on Muslims in order to initiate the war on terror. Behind the war on terror is a covert plan to redraw the map of the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, to break these countries up into fragments. Understanding the origin of this plan is crucial to comprehending the deception that has changed our world. Both 9/11 and the war on terror have a common origin. They were both conceived by Israeli military intelligence. That's not Mossad, that's Amman, A-M-A-N, in the 1970s under the leadership of Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was the leader of Israel in 1977. And when Begin came to power, that's when the real old terrorists took power in Israel. Menachem Begin is known as the father of terrorism. This is Menachem Begin. He was born in Russia, came to Palestine in 1942, became the leader of the Irgun in 1944, bombed the King David Hotel in Jerusalem in 1946, committed the Deir Yassin massacre in 1948, where they massacred an entire Palestinian village, created the Likud Party in 1973, became prime minister in 1977, and promptly invaded Lebanon in 1978. This is the emblem of the Irgun. This shows this larger territory called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. And this is what they aspire to. They aspire to creating a state, the Likudniks, from the River Nile to the River Euphrates, and taking pieces of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq along the way. It's interesting to note that although Menachem Begin was the head of the Irgun, which is part of Vladimir Jabotinsky's Zionist movement, Benjamin Netanyahu's father Bibi Netanyahu's father, Benzio Netanyahu, was the executive director of the New Zionist Movement when Jabotinsky died. Jabotinsky is the founder of this radical revisionist Zionism called the New Zionist Organization, founded in New York City. Here's the father of terrorism. This is Menachem Begin and Bibi Netanyahu. And in 1974, a British journalist asked Mr. Begin, how does it feel, in the light of all that's going on, to be the father of terrorism in the Middle East? And Begin said, in the Middle East, he said, in all the world. So he put on himself the mantle of being the father of terrorism in all the world. So 9/11, we need a little bit more light than that. Okay.
It's hard to read, but that's
okay. Okay. Okay, 9/11 was a false flag terror atrocity designed to instill fear and rage in the American population in order to get public opinion to support the war on terror. The war on terror is a pre-planned Zionist war agenda to be waged under the pretext of fighting terrorism. So starting the war on terror was the reason why 9/11 was done. The war on terror itself is much older. So 9/11 was a policy coup in this country that brought us the global war on terror and a series of these disastrous and costly wars. This is from Iraq. They call it the Long War. This is written by people who support the idea of fighting this war. The war on terror is the longest and most expensive war in U.S. history, yet there is very little public resistance to it and no public political debate on ending it. That's partly because there is no awareness in this country of what we've done in Iraq or Syria. For example, last summer we bombed Mosul and Raqqa, two very large cities, one in Syria, one in Iraq, and yet there were no pictures in the newspaper of what we were doing. None. Now this is what President Trump said a few months ago. He said, we have spent $7 trillion, trillion with a capital T, $7 trillion in the Middle East. You know what we have for it? Nothing. Nothing. He's right. And this is from the man who wrote The Art of the Deal. So if this deal is so bad, as he says, we need to reverse this deal. We need to understand it, that this deal is plundering the wealth of this country.
Absolutely.
How it works is that the war on terror is not just the name of it's not just a clever name. It's a legal term for the authorization to use military force. What this means is that 2 days after 9/11, Congress passed a bill that gave the president the right to declare war.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Again, that's Christopher Bolin explains who really did 9/11. So, you know, that's essential history. I would argue there's more. But I mean that's definitely an entry point to a discussion that, dare I say, as Chris Bolin points out, most Americans are entirely unaware. You know, you go into typically thought of as the right-wing Christian conservative community going to the pews on the weekends, and do you think they're aware of this history? And you hear some of these places being discussed now, you know, and the terror that was inflicted, you know, this long history, and I would say unbroken history of, the United States military industrial complex being cozy bedfellows with acknowledged and avowed terrorists like Menachem Begin. How many folks in America remember there is a larger story here, but, you know, the Irgun, the King David Hotel, Deir Yassin massacre. I mean, Deir Yassin is one of the, again, speaking of places that are in the news, do you think folks in Syria are aware of this history and probably reminded as Israeli bombing campaigns are conducted even today? I'm pretty sure they are. Anyway, A companion to this, I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again, Patrick Porter's 2015 article, Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State. And just a few little excerpts, I'm not even going to get into, I won't get to the news of the day. But this is, you know, if we all understood this history, things would be different. We wouldn't send our brave young men and women off to be psychologically damaged and maybe physically injured, maybe permanently, to only to be experimented on, you know, mentally and physically at Walter Reed Hospital by DARPA and partners. You know, because it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Look, you know, Johnny has a prosthetic that helps him. You know what I think would be better is if Johnny wasn't psychologically damaged and physically injured. I think that'd be better, personally. Why can't we talk about the atrocities that are committed in your name and my name that should never happen? And Johnny shouldn't be sent to, you know, who knows where on the devil's errand in some specious conflict that we're really not even privy to, not the real, you know, the real impetus behind it. I don't think that's a good idea, do you? And again, do we have to play Patrick Claussen's soundbite from 2012 on the fact that every time, as Chris Boland has talked about with 9/11, you know, it's always a false flag incident or some, you know, people say, false flag is a marginalized term. Fine, call it whatever you want. IHOP, you know, it happened on purpose. Whether it was made to happen on purpose, someone let it happen on purpose, or otherwise, it happened on purpose, or it was helped to happen on purpose, which is often the case. You know, again, Brzezinski gave us the emblematic example when he admitted that we created the Mujahideen 6 months before the Soviets invaded, even though publicly we heard the opposite. By the way, the Mujahideen became Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Nusra Front, Khorasan Group, you name it. The flavor of the day is a result of that. And he said we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. We helped it happen on purpose. And he called Jimmy Carter to congratulate him, said, you know, congratulations, we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War, and guess what? Where are we now? Speaking of $7 trillion. Wouldn't that be better spent here at home on infrastructure and things? But as Alan Watt has been telling us for years and years, that's not the plan, is it? Maybe we should get wise to this nonsense. So from Patrick Porter's Soldiers Fighting Alone, The Wars of the Market Security State. There's a problem with how the United States and its allies exercise power, a problem rooted in forces deeper than the imperfections of any one president or government. This problem was pithily summarized by a widely circulated photograph of a written statement on a whiteboard in a forward operating base in Iraq. Quote, America is not at war. The Marines are at war. America is at the mall. As it happens, this statement is in some ways an inadequate summary of the ripples the war in Iraq generated. It ultimately stretched beyond the front line and affected home society deeply, from the war's contributions to the debt deficit crisis that has swept the Euro-Atlantic world, to the unexpectedly large number, I would say ostensibly anyway, of maimed and wounded personnel, the extent of whose care our societies are unprepared. But the statement does summarize how a dysfunctional set of social relations shapes the way the state exerts force in the world and begets a confusion about what it means to be, quote, at war. To borrow a phrase from Leon Trotsky, albeit used in a different context, no war, no peace. The rise of the Anglo-American market security state in the past few decades has created particular problems in how countries both conceive and conduct their armed conflicts abroad. Due to confluent forces and choices, countries like Britain and the United States wage war and augment state power to do so by invoking the moral language of great national wars, while in other ways resisting the status of being at war, quote-unquote, as a political condition. That is, not declaring war, not making material demands of the people directly, and going to great lengths to insulate their populations from the conflict. That's cognitive dissonance, by the way. That's contradictory, right? Which he points out further. From the nation as a whole, this contradictory, or the schizophrenia, I would put it, this contradictory condition helps bring about a situation in which the state applies military power continuously in the name of an existential struggle, but trying to do so on the cheap, quote-unquote, while encouraging the people to look on as passive consumers or to look away. We'll continue from there when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Tuesday, February 26, 2019. I'm going to reorder these parts a little bit. These excerpts from "Soldiers Fighting Alone: The Wars of the Market Security State" by Patrick Porter, back in 2015. So, just to explain, you know, Philip Bob at the Shield of Achilles. You know, Patrick Porter explained, skipping ahead, by market security state, I do not mean the same thing as Philip Bobbitt's concept of the market state, a form of polity that seeks to harness private capital to maximize the opportunities of its citizens. Rather, I mean the marriage of two things often thought of as antithetical. These two things are an ever more intrusive statism with ever more monopolistic market capitalism intended to ensure capital's profitability. Since Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher spearheaded an Atlantic liberal revolution from the 1980s, an unintended net effect of this emerging market security state is to erode and hollow out civil society, or what Edmund Burke called the little platoons of voluntary association, family, local, and collective local life. Paradoxically, though, the architects of this revolution advocated limited government. The act of unleashing a pure marketplace requires order and good liberal subjects, and this demands even stronger enforcement of the rules of property, the rule of law, and free trade, thus creating a state with strengthened security apparatus and powers of coercion and surveillance. Does any of this sound familiar and echo back again, as he says, through, you know, the 80s and back? The size of the state actually grew under Thatcher and Reagan was no accident, but a defining feature of neoliberalism. So backing up now, in her groundbreaking study of conceptions of wartime and peacetime, Mary Dudziak observes, as the global war on terror dragged on, it left society in a strange state of limbo. It's not a time without war, but instead it's a time in which war does not bother everyday Americans. In her account, the root problem is how the collective memory of the 20th century creates an outmoded way of thinking, where people suspend vital political questions of state power, its limits, and authority, because they wrongly await the end of the war to get back to a post-war normality. Yet, as she notes, the issues at stake are too important to leave waiting for a mythical discrete peacetime. Rosa Brooks agrees, the very conception of a separate peacetime is an illusion, and the lines are blurred because of real developments, in particular that of the ongoing struggle against a geographically diffuse terrorist network that also gets a vote. The desire by political elites to remain in a state of permissive wartime status, to retain the enabling aspects of such a status, is not likely to end soon. We cannot and should not try to draw sharp boundaries for the state of wartime, therefore. Anyway, there's more on that note, but I will conclude that thought briefly in the opening moments of tomorrow's broadcast. It's too important not to shine a bright light on the way that our thinking has been deranged in America over the last half of the 20th century in particular. I hope today was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendover.